Welcome to FMC Radio, your officially unofficial source for all things Free Methodist. From in-depth discussions with key FMC leaders to daily updates from General Conference, we want to keep a consistent stream of information flowing to you regarding where God is leading the Free Methodist Church. I'm your host, Josh Avery, and I want to invite you to sit back, relax, and join us as we learn together now what it means to be Free Methodist in this episode of the FMC Radio Show. It's Monday, August 5th, 2019, and this is episode 113, and I just want to say a few things before we jump into our interview for today. The first is, I know that the GC19 missions trips are just all wrapping up. Some of them took place at different times, but I know they've just wrapped up within the last week. And if you're out there listening to this and you went on one of the missions trips that was associated with General Conference, I want to invite you to contact me, josh@befreemc.org, or just, you know, call or text my cell phone, 234-759-9042. I want to get in contact with you, hear some stories about your trips. We would love to have you on, or a couple of the people from some of the trips on an episode, or we could do multiple episodes, but we want to hear some stories, and the listeners want to hear some stories about what happened on these missions trips that were associated with GC. I'm sure there's a lot of exciting stories, a lot of things that you all learned as you went on these trips. And so I want to invite you to please contact me. If you're listening to this and you know somebody who went on a trip that might not listen to the show, please direct them to contact me, or get them in touch with me over on the Facebook page is another way, facebook.com/FMC Radio. All of those ways are great to get a hold of me, but I would love to hear from you, and we could set something up, talk over the phone, and share with everyone the excitement of what has happened on these trips. Now, that being said, I do want to mention two things about that have sprung up on our fmcusa.org website. And of course, we spoke the very first week. I spoke about the new website launching, and I really like it compared to in terms of design and in other senses, compared to the previous site, because it was very outdated, and you know there were a lot of problems with the old site that we won't get into right now. But bottom line, it was unfinished when it was started, right? I mean, it's still being updated, and Brett Heintzman, the director of communications, was clear about this. He didn't say, well, here it is, everybody. And he said, hey, there's still some issues. There's still some, you know, links to be worked out, and there's also some, you know, things to be added over time. And so we're starting to see some of those things being added over time here. One of these things is the Roots Kids curriculum page has been updated now. You'll remember back on episode 107, we spoke to Christy Messinger about the new curriculum for kids called the Roots curriculum. And at that time, it was just more of an announcement of saying, hey, this is coming. Now, if you go to the fmcusa.org, you click on Light and Life dropdown, and you hit Roots Kids Curriculum, you can see everything. You can actually purchase it now online. There's question and answers. There is a Section 1, Lesson 1 download for free that you can listen, read it, figure out what it's going to be like. They have broken this down into different sections, five different sections that go throughout the year. The sections are Who is God? Who am I? Experiencing God, growing in God, and loving others. And those aren't just five lessons. Each of those is a section. So for example, Who is God is going to constitute nine lessons. So you have five different sections that's going to stretch throughout the whole year. And then they actually also throw in seasonal lessons as well, two Easter lessons and two Christmas lessons. So you would take a break during that season to talk about the Easter story or the Christmas lesson story within those two segments for each. So all that being said, there's a lot of information over there, or some videos even, some stuff you can look through on the fmcusa.org page. And as I say, ultimately, you can go ahead and purchase the curriculum now. The price is, just so you know, you can buy those sections individually on their own for $129 each. You can buy the seasonal lessons for $29 each, or you could just buy the entire year, everything all together, for $529, and it saves, I guess, 30%, it says here on the site. So you can pay in installments and all that sort of thing. But you can look at that, see a lot of people spend money anyways for their kids on curriculum at the churches, but this is going to be something that I know, at least for me with youth group, it's always like, okay, I'm looking around, I'm like, what am I going to find here? There's so many out there, what's the right one? And here, you know, at least you know, first and foremost, that this is, you know, biblically rooted, theologically free Methodist, Wesleyan stuff that you're going to be getting here. But it doesn't stop there with the updates to the website. Within the last week and a half or so, there was an additional tab added under the Light and Life section of the site, and that was titled Free to Be Kids Lessons. And this is actually separate from the kids' curriculum. Of course, the kids' curriculum, while it is free Methodist, uniquely Wesleyan curriculum, it is, you know, we're going through the Bible and theological concepts in the Bible of, you know, like we said, who is God and who am I in relation to the story of God's story and those types of things. But this other tab here, the free to be, is free children's ministry curriculum. And it's specifically resources about our history and identity as the Free Methodist Church. So it's a way to teach kids about our background. And there's only four lessons, so it's not as if, oh, well, I'll just, you know, use the year-long free curriculum over here versus the paid one. This is more like, it's not a membership class, but it's almost similar type information that you might get in an adult membership class made for kids. So I'll quickly go through it for you. The first lesson is called Free to Believe. It's about the story of John Wesley, and you also learn about how Jesus made a way for us to be friends with God forever. The second lesson is called Free to Be Equal, and you are learning in this lesson about God valuing all people, and it'll be talking about the story of B.T. Roberts in the beginning of the Free Methodist Church. Lesson three is Free to Worship, and it's the key lesson element here is the Holy Spirit helps us honor God with our whole lives, and you're going to be learning about the stories of Phoebe Palmer and Emma Ray in that one. And then the fourth and final lesson is called Free to Serve, and you're going to learn about Jesus calling us to be his hands and feet with finding out stories of contemporary, modern-day Free Methodists. This is pretty exciting stuff here, and again, this is a free resource. So kids aren't just going to be learning a historical lesson of John Wesley or B.T. Roberts. That's awesome in and of itself to say the kids have actually learned some of our history. But, you know, it's not just they walk away from Sunday school or whatever and their parents say, what did you learn? Well, I learned about B.T. Roberts. Okay, well, what about God? Well, I didn't learn anything about God today. You know, B.T. Roberts was the only thing I learned about. No. We're learning about God values all people through B.T. Roberts because of all of the elements of B.T. Roberts that we're so wrapped up in, that theologically rich concept that God values all people. And we're learning about John Wesley, but not just some facts about John Wesley. We're learning about how Jesus made a way for us to be friends with God forever. So this is awesome. These four, and I don't specifically work with younger kids, but I may even look into doing this and adapting this somehow for the youth, if it's, you know, for a younger audience. I may see if I can use this for my 6th through 12th graders in the youth group. All of that being said, that is a pretty cool thing that just popped up, one of those things that I hadn't really heard anything about, and just popped up there on the website, is available now for download, all of those. You could use them as early as this Sunday if you'd like by downloading them today. So that's that information for you. Just one more quick update about the show here. I'm going to be going on a hike. I'm going to be leaving this coming Sunday on a hike in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. I'm going on a backpacking trip. I'm going to be hiking out of California, landing in Las Vegas, and then driving over to California and hiking from there, in Mammoth area, and going on a big backpacking trip for the majority of next week. So all that being said, I tell you that to say, there will be no new show posted next week on August 12th. We will be back the following week with a new show. So just if anybody's wondering about that, why there's nothing posted next week, yeah, I'll be on the backpacking trip. And I'm not going to be able to post from there, I don't think. So I don't think that's going to really work out. So let's just, before we go into our interview for today, let's look at our Free Methodist August prayer guide. And since I mentioned I will be gone next week, let's look at the 5th and the 12th. So the 5th tells us to look, to pray for the Argentina. It says, pray for the implementation of community church planning in the strategic city of Buenos Aires to be facilitated through a new residence for FM University students. And then the 12th Monday says to pray for Malaysia. And it says, pray for the 5 established churches and development of Chinese and tribal-speaking congregations. So let's take a moment just to pray for these two areas now, these two countries. Dear God, we pray first for Argentina today. We pray for this community church planting that is happening specifically in Buenos Aires. And it says that it's a strategic city, so they have a strategy to reach these people and to really engage this urban area. And so we pray right now. We see that it was facilitated through this new residence for the university students. And we just pray that... all of this will be worked out to your plan. And of course, we have a lot of plans here all around the world. And it's great for us to have our plans. And you ask us to be wise and to plan in some regards. And yet, we don't want to do anything outside of your plan. So we just ask that everything will be within your plan for Argentina, that the best strategy would not come from just the wisest minds or the smartest people coming together in a room and coming up with a strategy, but that the strategy would come from your mind, from your wisdom, being imparted to your servants who are here working in Argentina to spread your gospel and your word. And we also pray today for Malaysia. We thank you for these 5 Free Methodist churches that are established already. We pray for the continuing spread of the churches amongst the people in Malaysia, that this would not just be a year from now we'd hear about the 5 churches again, but that we would hear just a rapid kingdom expansion there throughout all of Malaysia. And we pray for the development of these specific churches, the Chinese-speaking churches and the tribal-speaking congregations. We pray that that would just continue and unfold even more what can happen in Malaysia now that there are Chinese churches and tribal-speaking congregations here. We just thank you for your compassion and your love and your reaching out to all these different people all around the world that we get to hear about and we get to pray for and be a part of here with Free Methodist World Missions. And we pray that you'll continue to just spread your love and your word all around the world as you know you will. We know you will, and we know that you'll use us for these types of things to be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we will be right back with Heritage Ministries.
No power on earth, no power in hell is gonna steal my peace. 10,000 enemies they will end up on their knees. When I'm hopeless, I can know this, you're with me. Your light will terrify the dark. I call upon the name that tears another apart.
So today we are I'm starting to draw from some of the connections that I made at General Conference. And of course, one of the great things about General Conference, if any of you were there or you listened while we were there, you would remember that there were just so many different ministries represented. And that's one of the great things, no matter how long you've been in the Free Methodist Church, when you go, you kind of discover new people, new faces, and new ministries. And so today we are talking to Lisa Haglund from Heritage Ministries. And Lisa, thanks for coming on and talking to us today.
Well, thank you, Josh. It was wonderful to connect with you at GC19, and it was a great experience. It was my first time there, and I really enjoyed connecting with everyone.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and look forward to the next one because it's just always so exciting to see everybody and get everybody together. And then when it's over, it's like, oh man, now just, you know, back to wait till
Absolutely.
4 years. So. Okay, well, tell us, let's just start out by talking a little bit about Heritage itself, and just tell us a little bit about why it exists and kind of the mission and purpose and what you guys do.
Bishop Salu had a vision back in the 1800s, and we've been around since 1886, and he had a vision of really just serving seniors and serving youth. And what that looked like was he started Heritage Ministries back here in Gary, New York, and our mission is to serve others through Christ-centered ministries, which promote hope, dignity, and purposeful living. And I'll talk a little bit more about the mission later on if I have a chance. But the mission is one of the reasons I joined Heritage and one of the reasons I love Heritage. We currently have grown and are in 4 states and are serving seniors and youth in some of our locations across all 4 states. And really, our mission is to serve those who God has called us to take care of and those who have maybe outlived their resources or don't have family nearby to care for them or who struggle with memory care and dementia issues and need some sort of skilled care to help them through their final days and really to show them God's love while we do it.
So I know that you guys are connected to the Free Methodist Church, and of course I guess that's because the bishop was one that kind of started this off. So we talk about, to use the phrase kind of from our retiring three bishops, that uniquely Free Methodist aspect, and so what are those ties? I mean, I know you just mentioned to share God's love. How would you do that with the people?
Absolutely. We are a unique kind of, I don't want to use the word entity because that's not it. We've grown so large, but we're still true to our core mission. And we're connected currently with the Free Methodist, our board members. We have board members who are Free Methodist and actually help govern us. We have employees who are. And on the same token, we have a chaplain at each of our locations who really minister to not only our residents and those we serve, but to the families and the communities. And we have, you know, we've made sure that we've intentionally built connectors along the way where, for example, I know a resident and I know if they're struggling, you know, I had a meeting up here the other day and we stopped and prayed at the end of it. It's really unique to me that prayer and God's kind of path for us and his season and what he's doing, you see that along each step of the way. And we try to always make sure that we're, you know, moving the organization forward in a way that reflects our mission and what God has called us to do, while also making sure we're good stewards and we're running operationally in the best way possible to be good stewards financially and good stewards with the lives we're entrusted with.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, and that's something that, you know, sadly, certain places that deal with the elderly or, you know, skilled nursing care, all these types of things, we hear bad reports from some places because people, you know, sadly, they're for a paycheck, there to kind of get through the day. And just, unfortunately, there are a lot of places that don't prioritize that and don't prioritize people and, you know, showing God's love to them as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely agreed. And it just, it's one of those things where it's hard to explain to anyone who's outside of the faith that we all live, but that it matters. It's the foundation that makes the difference in everything we do and how we serve.
Yeah. So now how many years have you been working with Heritage?
I have only been with Heritage 4 years.
Okay.
And really came here from the corporate world.
Oh, okay.
So I worked for 20 years, over 20 years for the same corporation and really a rather large one across the country and had done really well for myself in the typical, if you were to judge, you know, how well your career's going.
Yeah.
And really just hit a point in my faith walk where I realized like everything I had worked really hard for that was so important to me. I was, you know, I had a pivotal life event and I realized like this doesn't really reflect where I want to be personally and in my faith walk. And I'm being put in positions to make decisions and do things and feel like I can't even pray at work and I can't do this. And I was just watching the world around me and thinking there's got to be more. And don't we all have that moment where we think, you know, is what I'm doing every day matters?
Yeah.
Does it matter? Even if it's small, does it matter in the big picture? You know, I'm sure when Bishop Salu had this vision, he never thought 130 years later that we'd still be bringing up his name and talking about employing 1,500 and serving 2,400.
Yeah.
So I really hit that point where I thought, what am I doing every day? And what am I spending most of my time doing? And I prayed about it, and my kids were praying with me and my husband. And my son was really funny because he's a big prayer, and when he prays, things tend to happen, even though he's also the one that sometimes struggles in his faith. And all of a sudden, this opportunity at Heritage arose, and I had served on boards governing nonprofit for years and never thought I'd be working at one. And I certainly never thought I'd be working in a senior facility that provided senior care. And now I can't imagine it any other way. To me, it's probably things that other people take for granted, but I've never sat in a meeting and had it opened with prayer by our chaplain.
Yeah.
And then as we go along the meeting 3 hours later and we're making executive decisions, sometimes we'll even make the executive decision that might not always be financially the best one for us, but we know it's the one God called us to do to serve someone else. And one example with that would be, we have a large percentage of our seniors who have outlived their resources and other facilities would kick them out.
Okay.
And they would go to a lesser facility that's kind of a county run, you know, that just takes Medicaid. And we don't do that here. We find ways to sustain them so they can live out their days in the most fulfilling way.
Yeah. So that's kind of, so this is, that whole journey has brought you to now these last 4 years. And do you feel that now you're in this place of everyday kind of just having this, I mean, of course, there's always going to be the highs and lows of any job, of some hard stuff you got to work through or whatever, but in any job, but at the end of the day, what is your sense of kind of that purpose and your sense of just, well, yeah, I guess just purpose in where you're at now versus where you were previously.
Absolutely. And I do think, Josh, you're totally right. We all have days where we're like, this is, you know, hey, why didn't I win the lottery? And then I forget, well, I don't play it.
Yeah.
So that's probably why. But we all have those days where like, boy, I could retire on the Caribbean right now and probably be content. But then, you know, you walk outside and you realize, and you see everybody doing the same thing. You know, somebody's serving a senior a meal. And we even have days in our group, in the marketing group, we think, well, you know, you're just placing another ad and you're just doing this and you're making another video or you're telling a story. Does it really make a difference? And then you realize you walk out and, you run into, I run into Marge McGinnis, for example, and I realize, like, what we're doing matters every day. So even when I'm having a bad day, I'm always reminded, first of all, there's somebody who's having a harder path. My father-in-law just recently spent time at one of our skilled facilities after having a stroke. And when I would walk in on my lunch break and I'd be having a bad day and thinking about all of my issues, and I'd watch these people, you know, they're bathing them, they're loving them, they're doing activities with them, they're giving them physical therapy and rehab to the point where they can then go home, hopefully. And I realized, like, these guys are doing things that beyond what I'm even called to do that I'm just so appreciative of. And it makes a difference to that person sitting there. And my father was a Vietnam vet, my father-in-law. So, I mean, he served our country. Shouldn't we be serving him in return?
Yeah. And what's, I don't know. It's just interesting, just in general, just people in general seem to kind of overlook the elderly until, of course, then you get to that point in life and then you're like, oh, well, now you become the older person that people are younger people seem to overlook.
It's very funny to me because, you know, sometimes you talk about the fact that people struggle, you know, maybe they overlook someone in a wheelchair or they overlook the elderly, which is very true. We may not ever all experience being in a wheelchair, but we're all, God willing, let's hope, right, that we have that longevity of life. We're going to experience aging and what comes along with it. And these are the people that raised us. These are the parents and grandparents that planted seeds and prayed for us and served our country. And it's, instead of being uncomfortable, and I understand that, we just have to find a way to engage.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So you had mentioned some of the different ways that Heritage does engage and kind of provides opportunities for different levels at different people. You just mentioned some of the names of those things, but tell us about what different options, different locations, are these locations all different? Are they just in different states? What options are available through Heritage?
Absolutely. And they are all a little bit different. So in Chautauqua County in New York, we have three different main counties that we serve in. We're in Chautauqua County, which is where we started, and we have three skilled nursing facilities. And in a rehab and skilled nursing facility, it's exactly what the title is. We do rehab. Sometimes you get to go home after that, and it's outpatient, and we help you get back to your most fulfilling life. And sometimes you're there with us for the long run in skilled nursing or our dementia care, connections programming, we call it. So we have three of those locations. We have two locations that offer independent living and assisted living. Independent living is basically for seniors who are 55 and older, who, and I would be one of those people, they've proven that if you don't have the stress of shoveling your sidewalk, replacing your roof, the furnace just went, and you let someone else handle that for you while you still live in your own home, it really allows you to focus and spend your quality time on what matters most. So we have independent living. We also have assisted living. That's for people who just need a little bit of assistance. They don't need skilled, but maybe their child lives 4 hours away and they just need help like, hey, I need transportation to the doctors, or I'd rather have someone else do my laundry, or occasionally I need help with my pill bottle. That's really what assisted living is. Mm. So here in Chautauqua County, we offer that along with our new equestrian center that offers therapeutic programming and riding for seniors and youth. Then we have Ives Hill, which is out near the Syracuse area, which offers independent and assisted living. And we have Vinecroft in the Buffalo area, which offers independent living. When you go out to Seattle, Washington at the Kenny, we offer independent living, assisted living, and dementia care or memory care. At Hearthstone, which is in Woodstock, Illinois, which I love that community. It's one of my favorites because the staff there, you just go there and you feel like family. We there have independent living, assisted living, rehab and skilled nursing, and memory care. And then we also serve almost 200 children in a licensed child care program. And we really promote intergenerational activities there. Then in Conneautville, PA, at Rolling Fields, we have independent living, which currently we were struck by a tornado. And God, thankful to God that everyone made it out, but we're rebuilding the independent living because they did get hit and no one got hurt, but we're still having to rebuild it. And then we have rehab and a skilled nursing facility there, and we serve in a licensed child care program there as well with intergenerational activities. So that really shows you kind of the scope. It's anywhere from independent seniors, and we actually provide them with a house where they get to custom pick what the house looks like and their own amenities and granite countertops and all of that, to assisted living, down to your skilled nursing, rehabilitation, and memory care.
Okay, yeah, so it's really a wide area, and of course that needs to be because there's a lot of people who are dealing with different things as well.
Absolutely, so, especially with the new baby boomer generation that's coming along now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so of course, yeah, and that's something too, is there's constantly, of course, new generations that are getting older, and with that comes different things that people are dealing with. I mean, some generations are dealing with, you know, having gone through several wars, and so they're needing some trauma, you know, therapy ongoing, those types of things. Other generations are, our generation now, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the technology effect has on, you know, our generation.
I know.
When they get older.
And so interesting.
There's all these things that it's almost as if, you know, there could be new areas that need to be worked on as time goes on, and that's continuing to update.
Right. And I will say that is kind of a misnomer. People think, you know, hey, I put mom in a nursing home, and as long as they're feeding her and bathing her, like, that's the expectation. At Heritage, and I think I mentioned it earlier, that's where I get hung up on the mission, where it says hope, dignity, and purposeful living. If you don't have hope, you're not really going to thrive. If you really feel like, hey, my family put me in a nursing home, and this is it for me after a great long life, you lose hope. So yeah. Our job is to give them hope and purposeful activities, not just, and purposeful living, not just a, hey, do you want to come play bingo? It's, hey, do you want to come up and pet a horse and get engaged with our therapeutic riding program? Do you want to do a 50s sing-along or a Christian Bible study? What can we do to fill your days in the most meaningful way to you?
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about a couple of those different things, things that may be going through people's mind as they, first and foremost, so those who are preparing, who have reservations or fears, they're thinking about the possibility of going into a more skilled nursing home where they're going to have to move out of the home that they're familiar with. A lot of people hold off as long as they can. Even some, if they have serious, you know, medical needs, they say, well, I just don't want to move. I'm not going somewhere else. And so if you come into contact with somebody who has this sort of reservation or fear of leaving their home and going somewhere new, and they've been there their whole life, I mean, what kind of things might you say to somebody like that as they're considering moving to one of the locations?
I would really just be honest with them and also draw to my own life experiences with my family. And that everything is there is a season for everything that God calls us to. So there's a season that you had with your children, if you had children. There's a season with your spouse, if you had a spouse, or maybe you were a missionary and there was a season for that. But there's also a season where you have to look, and it's hard. You have to remember that those are the memories you have. You're always going to have the memories, even if the house is still not the same walls. And what can we do to help you preserve those memories without the burden of the house? It's, at some point, takes too much of a toll, and maybe you've waited too long. And honestly, my father-in-law is a great example. He was, you know, his mother had gone into a skilled facility, not one here, and was always so against it, and that was his biggest fear. And he recently had a stroke and he had to go stay at the Village, and it ended up being short term because they did such a great job with the rehab here at Heritage. But he said, he goes, this is like another family. So it gave him companionship. It gave him fellowship. It gave him rehabilitation. It gave him activities that he got involved in. And he didn't realize, he thought he was losing something. He actually gained more. And so I would try to explain that. And while understanding, it's still a hard move. It's hard to think about selling your house or downsizing a little bit or putting a loved one in a skilled facility. But if you can help them live their best life in their best years ahead, it's really just walking them emotionally through that and making sure they have those emotional connections when they move, that they're set up to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's great, because it's not, some people would just be trying to say, well, you know, once you get there, you'll like it, which, you know, is true.
Right.
But also being honest from the beginning, okay, well, this is going to be hard. You know, you are going to be sad. Obviously, we're not asking you to be excited about leaving all this behind, but there is, you know, some hope. There is some excitement to be had in the future. And it's the same way with, you know, anybody, any age of, you know, I was just talking to someone recently who, for example, struggles with depression. And so she has decided to, most of the last few years, she's just kind of stayed at home, and she has some kids and stuff, but stays at home. And anytime there's an opportunity arises, oh, that sounds fun, I might go to that. But then when the day comes, no, I'm just going to stay at home. And
yep.
Because of that, there's an isolation then that it's crazy, because the only thing she wants to do is stay at home. But more so, she wants to get rid of this depression. The only way to do that is to get outside of the isolation. So it's kind of that same type of deal where it's like, okay, the only thing I'm going to do is keep my house. But it's just, there's so much more, so many more opportunities. And with that, you know, just kind of like you're saying, that hope and just opening up those, taking away that isolation that is often felt, even though you have those memories and that comfortable place that you're familiar with.
Absolutely. And isn't that true for all of us? We all go through periods, and I think we have to somehow find a way to break down those barriers. And this is just me on my soapbox, where it doesn't matter if it's depression, my son has anxiety, or it's aging. We all have our struggles, all of us. And it's, how do we find that hope, and how do we connect with people that help draw us out of it? You know, a cord with more, you know what they tell us, right? One string is easily broken. A cord with more than one is, there's strength there. And nothing is more of a blessing than when you have that friendship and the fellowship to help lift you up and strengthen you in times of need.
Yeah, so I think another thing that's related is, you know, as we're thinking about getting older, and of course people work the majority of their life, towards eventually retirement. And when you retire, you know, you have maybe some plans or whatever. But again, as you get older, the plan may be, okay, well, just kind of, you know, sit back and spend the rest of my life just whatever, however you want to say it, relaxing, or a lot of people just spend their time watching TV or whatever. And that can get old pretty quick. So people have that mindset, though, that, okay, you work real hard and then you just retire and sit back. And essentially, you know, okay, well, one day you wait to die, and then that's when you finally get your youth back in heaven, and then that's the fun part again.
Right.
But that's kind of, you know, that's a depressing state to be in as well, just to think, well, just every day for the rest of my life, just sit here and watch TV, or maybe I'll just go to the restaurant and then go back and watch TV. That's a retirement mindset where people kind of have this idea, you get to a certain age, and, you know, you've done not only your financial work, like to make money for your family, but also, like, what's caught a lot of times and taught is this idea that the ministry is almost, it's over. You know, okay, well, you know, you do your personal devotional time. That's your faith now, you know, and
right.
As you get to a certain age, you're retired from ministry or your faith or discipleship. What kind of, either you could talk a little bit about maybe Heritage specifically, what you guys do as far as the faith next step, or just in general as well, just saying like, what do you think about this idea of people just, with their faith, sometimes people just kind of retiring from their faith and just picking up a devotional and that's it.
Right. So in general, it's one of my biggest pet peeves, and I'll just be honest about that. Mm. And I don't think that's the intention. Like, I'm retired now and you just slip into quietness and you're at home and you do devotionals. I think what happens, and I only say this because now suddenly at my age, and I'm not that old yet, but suddenly I don't feel like I'm 20. When I wake up in the morning, my body isn't just recovered. And I'm like, you know, I sneeze wrong and something hurts. And I'm like, how did that happen? I used to have to actually like do a cartwheel for that to happen. Yeah. But so I don't think it happens intentionally. I think from working with seniors, it's one of those things, it becomes harder and things hurt more. And so it just becomes this way to protect themselves,
yeah,
where they kind of pull in and they stay at home and they do devotionals because you're preserving and protecting. There's less risk than when you're out there. But I would say, first of all, get involved. There is so much you can do. As an elder, you're called to share your wisdom with us. You're called to pray with us. You're called to lead us. I still consider myself a youth in that way, that I need my grandparents' wisdom and some of the wisdom of the seniors around us. We adopted a few years ago, and one of our residents here happened to bump into me, and I told her about it because I was struggling that day, and she gave me a book from when she used to kind of work with youth in need, and she has no idea. She probably has forgotten about that, and it made a big impact and a big difference for me. So I would say take a step back and think, I still have purpose. It may look different than it did in my 40s or in my 20s, but what can I do now? And it may be as simple as doing, and we'll talk about some of these things we do at Heritage. It may be as simple as a knitting group. And when you knit the blankets, they go to children in foster care. It may be as simple as putting together packages that mailing cards, if you can still write, that get sent overseas to those who serve. And we do that at Heritage. Mm. It could be, and all these things that I talk about are all really simple things, but it's a huge impact to the person on the other side. We do a lot of intergenerational programming. I personally would love, as a senior, and we do have some foster grandparent programs. We don't offer one specifically right here in this location, but we do have at some of our intergenerational campuses where a senior will do an activity with a youth. You know, nothing is better. One of my sons actually connects with somebody who's on our steering committee, who's a senior, and he calls him his honorary grandfather. And he would listen to him before he'd probably listen to me. I don't know that everybody realizes the influence they have, and that's for all ages. So I would really encourage our seniors. We offer all sorts of activities to stay youthful. Let's take everyone out to the theater as a theater group. Let's put together a wellness committee that works out. Let's put together a coffee clutch that ministers. And, you know, hey, maybe once a year you invite in a single mother who's struggling and show her God's love and help her. We put together groups that send cards out to our military, prayer groups, knitting groups that pray over the prayers, groups that go up and do therapeutic programming and help with youth, and visit our equestrian center. There is so much going on that I couldn't even go into it, but I would say, don't sit back and just allow aging to happen. you will live a longer, more fulfilling life the more active you can stay. That might not still be skiing, and maybe it is, because seniors now are different than they were 30 years ago, and the baby boomer generation is changing that. Mm-hmm. But if you can't ski anymore, well, teach someone else what you used to know, what you did, share that wisdom you've gained. And I would say we're looking for seniors now to not only who live here to get engaged, but seniors and youth to get engaged with the seniors who live on our campuses. Because some do hit a point, maybe they're in our dementia program where they can't go out anymore. They might still have wisdom to share, or maybe not. Maybe their mind is at that point. And there's other seniors around that could come and minister to them and their families and pick them up in their prayer walk. You could put together a volunteer group. You know, we are a not-for-profit who supports seniors who have outlived their resources. And everybody always has that misnomer. Well, hey, I'm paying a lot for the nursing home care for grandma. Well, really here at Heritage, we tend to lose money in a lot of different arenas because we're caring for those that don't have the money to take care of themselves. And so people, we always welcome them to come alongside of us as a volunteer in prayer or, of course, with donations. But yeah. I would just encourage our seniors to know they still have a huge role to play in this country and with our youth, and to never lose sight of that.
Yeah, that basically the bottom line of thinking of the fullness of who we are is not just because the physical aspect is not as, you know, it's more limited than it used to be, does not mean all of the other aspects are limited or cannot be, you know, in some ways even better than in the past, maybe, because again, sharing experiences from your lifetime, that's, you have a full lifetime now of experiences to share versus, you know, when you're younger, you don't have as much or as much wisdom to share possibly.
Right.
But yeah, just that. So yeah, I like that, just because that idea of, you know, looking at our full lives as, I think actually at General Conference, I may have mentioned this. I can't remember if I mentioned this, if it was on the podcast on a previous episode or not, but I think it was Matt Thomas said, you know, they're talking about kind of stepping down as bishop, retiring from that role. But he said at General Conference that someone had asked him, you know, okay, so are you quitting? And he said, well, no, we're not quitting. We're retiring from this role. But he said, I'm not going to be quitting, you know, ministry in one regard or another until, he said, this is the way he put it, he said, till they bury me in the ground, throw dirt on my face, and we go back to the church to eat salad or something like that.
Amen. So, and isn't that perfect?
Yeah, yeah. So if we have that mindset, it changes a lot of things. It changes, of course, what we're willing to do. But then it's also interesting, even, you know, being younger, which I'm 33, you know, being sick, I even notice in just getting a sickness, if I stay at home, you know, if it's just a severe cold or something, if I stay at home and lay in bed, I tend to feel a lot worse. Now, if I go out and I start doing stuff, all of a sudden I kind of forgot that I even felt that way. And that's a small example, because there are some very severe and serious, you know, issues that especially older people, physical issues that they might be dealing with. But at the same time, you know, just laying in bed and stuff is really going to, you have nothing really to think about but those issues. And getting out may actually help to feel better in some ways physically about those issues that you really do have too.
Absolutely. And never would I want to diminish someone's walk. You know, if you're laying in bed and you've lost your sight and you can't move, my belief is, though, God is still desiring to use you, and you may just be a prayer warrior. So find out who you can be praying for, or pray for Heritage if you hear this, or personally, you know, I'm a working mother who loves Heritage, but also has four children, and we, you know, pray, I'll take your prayers. Our organization, our seniors, so even if you're just a prayer warrior, there's still, I always feel like people get stuck in that, well, I'm not doing anything, and now I've hit this age. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a few great aunts and some grandparents who were prayer warriors.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are important seeds.
Right. And that's, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because, you know, when we talk about that, about doing, still doing things, you know, that we usually think of, okay, going and doing things. But as I think it was Doug and Margie Newton from the National Prayer Ministry have mentioned before, you know, that people tend to think of what can I do? I'm going to go do something right now. And very often, you know, prayer is kind of put on the back burner or forgot about in lieu of, okay, let's just get started. Let's do something about this. And so, you know, maybe even more importantly, you know, someone who's listening to this, they say, well, I physically can't, I just actually am not able, don't have, feeling my legs or whatever it is. That is actually, you know, maybe even more important than getting out and actually doing something, the prayer, because, you know, that's going to empower those who are able to get out, and it's going to empower the ministry and all those sorts of things. So yeah, there's definitely, and of course there's so many things to pray for, as you're mentioning, you know, just the people around at the Heritage facilities and in the ministries. Of course, I know many of our elderly people get the Free Methodist World Missions Prayer Guide, but there's a prayer guide that comes out once a month, and you can sign up for that and pray daily for different missionaries and things around the world. So there's so many different things, you know, that you could spend the day in prayer over as well, and that's certainly something that's needed.
Absolutely.
Now, I guess this is connected to, you know, we've just been talking about those who are going to have limitations to what we've been saying, and we've talked a little bit about the physical, you know, limitations that may keep somebody from getting out and doing what they used to do, but now let's just talk a little bit about the mental limitations that may come along, because you did mention that one area that has helped is in the realm of memory care. And so just two questions regarding this. The first is just, you know, say someone came to you and they had just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia. And what would you say to someone like this about, you know, they still, are just on the early stages, but they know that things could get a lot worse with their memory. What kind of things might you say regarding their fears?
The first thing I would probably say is, preserve and start documenting what you want documented now that you have time. So start journaling, start writing letters to your loved ones, write yourself a letter, and don't try not. And I probably would experience fear, but try not to panic and rely on God. Because at the end of the day, you can't stop what is going to occur next. Just like I can't stop, you know, breaking a limb or getting in a car accident, God forbid. But you have some advance notice. So instead of panicking or shutting down, enter into prayer and enter into communication with the people that, and fix any relationships that you can. And share those words of wisdom, and maybe, you know, ask a loved one if you can pray for them if you've never done that before, and send those letters out while you can. And then I would encourage the family members around them to slow down a little bit. Understand that life is short, and that, you know, they're going to experience some depression, anxiety, maybe mood swings. They could get angry or apathetic. Changes in personality and behaviors are going to occur. And you have to take a step back and remind yourself, none of this is intentional. They can't control this. They're just as scared as you are. And you have to remember who they were, not what you're seeing right now. You always can love that person through the situation by trying to remind yourself of the stories and the times, and place pictures around that remind you of the better times, because it is a difficult road. And they do, the personalities change, and they can become very angry. And there are things you can do with some behavior modification that we're trained to do that help. But if you're starting that walk at home, you have to understand, don't argue with them. It's not worth it. You're not going to win that argument. You're not going to convince them otherwise. And don't ignore symptoms. Start taking and reducing tasks down to modify them into small, achievable goals. You know, we adopted a son, and I am a type A personality, and I say like 52 things at once. Mm-hmm. And I always expect everyone to just come along and think like I think. And with him, I've had to learn, like, I can't give more than two-step instructions. And yeah. like personally, that drove me nuts for a long time. But I, what I did learn in the long run, and still there's still things that drive me nuts, is I had to change more than I was expecting him to change. So I would remind the caregiver to slow down, modify tasks, try to engage them in thinking about past things, playing music that they remember. If it was old worship music or old 50s music or big band music, the music tends to stimulate the brain in a way that no one else can. And then remember, the earlier you seek treatment, the better and longer it helps them with prognosis. We offer programming called Connections Programming, which is unique. We're one of the few that offer it, which is 24/7, not just care in a skilled facility. It's actually programming that keeps them active at whatever stage they're at. And we've actually built rooms where you may start in the morning in one room because you do well at 6 o'clock in the morning until 11. And then at 11, because as you get tired, it progressively gets worse, we move you to a different room or a different section of a room, and the activities are different and the lighting is lower. And there's a little bit of soft background music. And then you get to the next part where it's really restful. You just have someone there to help with you're agitated. You might do a little bit of music therapy, but you're really relaxed at this point. And we really try to prolong their activity levels and keep them engaged in things they can do that make them feel good. Dementia patients love babies. They love animals. So we have robotic cats. We have, fake babies. And that actually allows them to care for someone else and helps engage their brains. But just taking a step back and remember, pull in professional help as soon as you can and take care of yourself, most importantly.
Robotic cats.
No. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing. You know, you mentioned earlier how things change.
Yeah.
It's really challenging for a not-for-profit, which is one of the reasons we've grown. If you're a standalone facility, it's really hard to stay up on these newest advances and offer the best care you can, which is why we continue to grow while we're still a nonprofit and true to our mission, because we want to do the right things for our residents and stay up on the new technology and all this really amazing stuff that they come out with.
Yeah, wow. Wow, so do the robot cats look like robots, or like, are they have fur on them and
just
stuff?
Just like a regular cat.
They look like a regular cat. Wow. Do they need litter boxes? Or?
No, that's the good news.
That's the good. Okay, I might look into getting that then instead of my cat.
Yeah, and they don't scratch. It's the perfect pet, Josh.
What in the world? Okay, I'll have to look that up. I have to look up a picture of this robotic cat now. But yeah, that's great, and that's good advice as well to those who are, really not only do, of course, the person that is diagnosed with this, not only are they grieving, but also the families, because they know, from just stories and kind of they don't know the fullness of what will happen, but they kind of have an idea. And so just to know that there, again, is hope out there, that there is, that a step forward, something to do and to kind of plan for, instead of just, okay, well, let's see what happens and just kind of take it day by day. And then you're not prepared, again, to use the example you used of somebody getting angry. Well, that's not their own personality coming out. It's more of that, the disease, it's more of the dementia coming through. And so, but I think ultimately, of course, the greatest thing of all to remember and all of that, talking about hope again, is the Christian hope of heaven, and just remembering the restoration, and that at the restoration of all things, then, that we don't have to say, well, now for the rest of eternity, this person is going to have dementia and they're not going to remember me and they're not going to remember, they're going to have spells of this and that. It's just so good to know that that is only for a time, and then, that all diseases, all evil, all, that is not of God's plan is going to be completely wiped away. And so,
absolutely agreed with.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, this is all, this is great. And I want to make sure that people know how to connect to your ministry if there's people who need it, or if they just want to donate, or if there's other different, they just want to look up some more information. What is the website for Heritage?
It is www.heritage1886.org, and you could also just type in Heritage Ministries Gary, New York, and you'll find it inadvertently that way as well. And they could always email me at lhagland, H-A-G-L-U-N-D, at the at symbol heritage, H-E-R-I-T-A-G-E, 1886.org.
Okay. Well, I will put the links to those in the show notes so everyone can click on those. And this has just been a good time thinking about, for us, I guess, where we're headed in our future, for many young listeners saying, all right, where are we going? And for maybe for their parents and for grandparents, but also just for some listeners that already may be at that age, maybe just taking that next step to say, okay, well, now is the time for me to kind of maybe step back from some of the things I've been holding on to and think about that community that is available. And so hopefully this definitely helps some people today to take that next step, whether they're having trouble personally letting go or facing some memory loss or whatever these things are. And of course, the team over there available at the different links that we've talked about and emails can help as well to let you know what the next step would be. So.
Well, I really appreciate it. I have so enjoyed getting to know you via the Hoover app prior to General Conference and during General Conference, and appreciate the opportunity just to share our mission and what we do.
Yep, now we just got to figure out a time to go to Disney, and then we'll all be good.
Absolutely. Boom, check. We're all good. I will be emailing you and telling you. I tried so hard.
Yeah, we all tried to, for those who weren't on Hoover, we tried to get to go to Animal Kingdom. Lisa was working on some tickets, but it didn't work out. So maybe next time we'll all go down and head down to Disney together.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks a lot so much.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
All right. You too.
Bye. Your light will terrify the dark.